Welcome to the Deep Dive. We sift through complex sources to bring you the key insights. And today, well, today we're heading into some ancient wisdom, actually from a pretty surprising place in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at a really powerful, but also, frankly, quite challenging speech from the book of Job.
That's right. Job. It's a book that asks some huge questions.
Exactly. We're going straight into the text, Job chapter 20. And looking at how people have understood it, it gives us this unique angle on stuff we still wrestle with, you know, justice, suffering, why people do what they do.
Age-old questions, really. Still completely relevant.
Totally. So our mission for this deep dive is to unpack what this figure, Zophar the Naamathite, argues so fiercely about, well, about what happens to wicked people.
He has some strong opinions.
He really does. But we're not just, you know, doing a history lesson. The goal is to pull out the timeless ideas, the insights that still speak to us today, even the parts where maybe he missed the mark a bit in his original context.
Right. It's about finding the enduring wisdom.
Exactly. What can these ancient words teach you about your choices, how you see things, how you approach faith in this, let's face it, complicated world? Ready to jump in?
Let's do it.
Okay, so diving into Job chapter 20. Zophar, he doesn't really ease into it, does he?
No, not at all. He comes out quite forcefully.
Right. With this really strong claim, wicked people, they always get punished swiftly, decisively, like that's just a rule of the universe for him.
Mm-hmm. A classic example of something scholars call retribution theology.
Retribution theology. Okay.
Yeah, basically the belief that, you know, good actions always get rewarded, bad actions always get punished.
Yeah.
And visibly, quickly, no ambiguity.
And Zophar seems completely convinced of this. He uses some really intense descriptions, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A very vivid imagery.
He says the success, the prosperity of the wicked, it's incredibly short-lived. Like, the triumphing of the wicked is short and the joy of the hypocrite, but for a moment, that's pretty stark.
It really is. He argues that even if they seem to reach, you know, great heights, God's judgment just catches up. Poof. They vanish as a dream. Like they were never really there.
Wow. A serious warning against, I guess, ill-gotten gains or fleeting success?
Definitely. And he continues that theme. He talks about wealth.
Right, the riches.
Even if they gather lots of it, he says they're tormented inside. They swallow down riches, but then it's like they have to vomit them up again. God reclaims it or destroys it.
So they don't even get to enjoy it, according to Zophar.
Not truly. No inner peace. And ultimately, yeah, he paints this picture of terror, fire, destruction coming from God himself. That's their portion, he says, the portion of a wicked man from God. Very final.
It's incredibly forceful. But you mentioned context earlier. How does that fit in?
Well, that's the crucial part, isn't it? The power of the speech is undeniable. The imagery is potent. But Zophar's big mistake, the core error, was aiming all this directly at Job.
At Job, who the book presents as righteous.
Exactly. Job is the righteous man suffering, not the wicked man getting his comeuppance.
Mm-hmm.
So Zophar, in his, you know, absolute certainty, completely misreads the situation. He misapplies these principles.
So was this just Zophar being, I don't know, uniquely judgmental? Or was this idea, this retribution theology, common back then?
Oh, it was very common. Widespread, really.
Mm.
This idea that the world worked on a clear cause and effect moral system. Good gets rewarded, evil gets punished. Period. That was a standard framework.
Okay, so he was voicing a popular view.
He was. He was articulating what many believed to be, well, just how God in the world worked. Even though he got it wrong about Job, the underlying belief system was quite prevalent. It speaks to that deep human need for order, for justice, for things to make sense.
That makes sense. We want the world to be fair, right? So even if Zophar applied it wrongly to Job, you're saying there are still deeper truths in his words, things we can learn from.
Precisely. Even flawed arguments can contain valuable insights. We just have to, you know, look a bit deeper past the misapplication. There are at least three big ones that stand out.
Okay, let's hear them.
So truth one, sin has consequences. Maybe not the instant lightning bolts Zophar imagined, but choices based on, say, greed or hurting others or just sheer arrogance. They tend to have real effects.
Okay, consequences, like what?
Well, they can be social losing trust, damaging relationships, they can be emotional guilt, anxiety, that inner turmoil so far hinted at, and maybe spiritual consequences too. It reinforces this idea that, yeah, there seems to be a kind of moral fabric to reality.
So understanding that isn't just about fearing punishment, but seeing the real world impact.
Exactly. It encourages maybe more thoughtful choices, understanding that actions have ripples. It helps us see obedience not just as following rules, but as living in harmony with a deeper reality.
Ripples. I like that. It makes you think about the hidden costs.
Which ties into the second truth.
Okay.
Truth two. External success doesn't equal internal peace. Zophar nails this, actually. That idea that someone can look incredibly successful on the outside.
Rich, powerful, right. But inside, they could be eaten up by guilt, fear, maybe just a profound emptiness. He says the wicked will not feel quietness in his belly.
That's powerful.
It really is. Think about people we see today projecting this perfect life, but maybe struggling immensely behind the scenes. This insight strengthens faith by showing that, you know, real peace, real fulfillment, it comes from inside. From integrity, from being right with yourself and maybe with God, not just from stacking up worldly wins.
That hits home, especially today with social media and all the curated perfection we see. You just don't know what's going on inside.
Exactly. Appearances can be so deceiving. True well-being is internal. It encourages valuing character over, you know, just chasing the next big thing.
Okay, that's two. What's the third?
The third truth is about patience, about perspective. Truth three, justice may be delayed, but it's not absent.
So Zophar wanted it now, but maybe it doesn't always work like that.
Right. God's timing, or even just the natural unfolding of consequences, isn't always on our schedule. It certainly wasn't in Job's case. But the core idea Zophar grasped, that injustice, that wickedness, tends towards collapse, eventually that holds water.
How so?
Think about it historically. Oppressive systems often crumble over time. Individuals who constantly cause harm often end up isolated or facing some kind of reckoning, even if it takes years. It's like that phrase, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice.
Right. It might take a while, but there's a direction.
Exactly. And understanding this, it can strengthen our faith, our trust in ultimate justice, even when things look bleak right now. It encourages patience, encourages us to keep doing right, even when we don't see the immediate reward or the immediate punishment for wrong. It builds resilience.
Okay, those are three powerful truths pulled from Zophar's somewhat flawed speech. So now, this is where it gets really interesting for me. How do we take this ancient stuff and apply it now? What does it mean for us today?
Yeah, the practical application, that's key.
Definitely. So maybe the first one, and this feels like a big one, don't assume someone's suffering means they're guilty.
Yes, crucial.
Zophar did exactly that to Job, and we see people do it all the time, don't we? Someone faces hardship, and the whisper starts, oh, what did they do wrong? Or, well, karma.
It's such an easy trap to fall into. A quick judgment.
It is. But this story is a huge caution against that.
Yeah.
Making those quick assumptions, those causation assumptions, it doesn't just miss the point. It can actually hurt people more, piling judgment onto pain.
Mm-hmm. Instead, this encourages, well, obedience through empathy, doesn't it? Humility. Yeah. Recognizing we don't know the whole story. Our job is compassion, not condemnation.
Absolutely. It steers us towards kindness, towards support, instead of snap judgments. Okay, what else?
Well, related to Zophar's point about riches, we should examine the real cost of temporary gains.
Ah, the swallowing riches, but finding bitterness.
Exactly. He said it was like the gall of asps within him. In our world, which is so often about the quick win, the instant gratification, you know, getting ahead maybe by cutting corners or focusing only on profit.
Yeah, we see that a lot.
Zophar's words are a warning. They push you to ask, what's the long-term cost here? Is this quick gain worth the potential inner turmoil, the ethical compromise, the damaged relationships?
So it encourages a different kind of obedience, valuing integrity and long-term spiritual health over short-term material stuff.
Precisely. It's about building your life on a solid foundation. Choosing lasting well-being, true peace, over something fleeting that might ultimately poison you from within. It's about asking, what am I really gaining and what am I potentially losing?
That's a tough question sometimes, but a really important one. Okay, one more.
I think the deepest one perhaps is this. Avoid overconfidence in your own moral frameworks. Guard against self-righteous judgment.
Oof, that sounds like Zophar again.
It really does. It's comforting to think we have it all figured out, right? Oh. Good people win, bad people lose, nice and tidy.
Oh.
But life, as Job's story shows so powerfully, is way more complex.
Yeah.
Zophar spoke with such certainty, absolute conviction, and he was dead wrong about Job. So this chapter is a huge invitation to, well, hold our truths with humility.
Humility, that keeps coming up.
It has to. Real discernment, real wisdom. It needs empathy. It needs spiritual insight. It's not just about being certain you're right and applying a rigid formula. This encourages a more nuanced faith, one that's self-aware, that avoids harsh judgment. It leads to obedience through understanding and connection, not just condemnation.
That makes so much sense. It's about listening more, maybe judging less.
And that's really how all these applications connect back to strengthening faith and encouraging obedience, isn't it? They push us beyond a simple transactional view of God, you know, put in good deeds, get good rewards immediately.
Right, like a vending machine.
Exactly. Instead, it fosters critical thinking, real empathy, and a deeper trust in God's ways, which are often, frankly, mysterious and play out over time.
Yeah.
It helps us see that justice is bigger than our immediate view, and that true wisdom involves compassion and humility. That allows faith to be more resilient, more mature, especially when life doesn't fit into those neat little boxes.
So wrapping this up then, it seems Zophar's speech, despite its flaws in addressing Job, actually holds these really potent lessons for us about consequences, about what true prosperity looks like, and, wow, about the need for humility when we look at others.
Definitely. It's a great example of how these ancient biblical stories keep speaking to us, offering wisdom for navigating our own complex lives, helping us discern truth, helping us grapple with justice and faith.
They really do challenge us to look deeper, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Beyond the surface, to embrace the nuances.
So here's something for you, the listener, to maybe reflect on. After hearing about Zophar's certainty and his mistake, how might you approach judging situations or maybe other people differently, especially knowing that what you see on the outside doesn't always tell the whole story about what's going on inside or about, you know, God's bigger plan?
A good question to sit with.
Definitely something to ponder. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.